Hi, Jamie. Where are you at the moment and what are you doing?
I'm in the studio and we're working on pre-production for the new Hatebreed studio album.
Okay. So there's a lot of things happening with Hatebreed lately. Your DVD was out already in the States, but it's coming out in Europe pretty soon. Got a new CD coming out also. But first and foremost, your longtime guitar player, Sean, decided to leave the band, which pretty much was a shock for all the Hatebreed fans. So can you comment this and give us a little bit more light about Sean Marty's departure?
Yeah, I mean, from our end, we, you know, had kind of saw it coming a little bit in an extent where we knew he wanted to do other things, and we knew we had a really busy schedule coming up, but, you know, all the reasons behind it, you know, you would really have to talk to him about, because it's unfair for us to, like, truly say why we think he left, but we, you know, we pretty much saw it coming, and, you know, we were cool with it because we don't want to force him to, you know, do something he doesn't want to do anymore, and also we want to have a very, you know, busy schedule this year and next year, and we're really excited about the new record, so, you know, we knew we were able to get Wayne, our original guitar player, back in the band, and that it would be a pretty seamless transition, and Wayne's already done two shows, and everything's been going really good, so we're just trying to stay positive, and we hope, you know, we wish the best for Sean, and we're totally supportive of it. He was just hanging out the other night with all of us, so, you know, everybody's still friends.
Yeah. So basically, it was his decision.
Totally. And you know what, he put in 10 years, you know, and recorded three albums with us, and, you know, we're very grateful for the work and the, and, you know, the commitment that he put into the band for those 10 years. But, you know, we're going to keep on moving on and moving forward.
Yeah, life goes on. And you got Hatebreed's original guitar player, Wayne. A lot of people are really curious to know why, in the first place, he got out of Hatebreed back then, and how came the idea of getting him back now?
Well, like with everybody, you know, life changes and your priorities change. And in the back in the day, you know, he just didn't have the ability to tour with us, like the crazy touring we were, you know, doing, and we weren't making any money, and it was really hard for anybody to be in the band because it was like no glory, no money, no nowhere to sleep at night, not a lot of food to eat. I mean, it was really rough in the beginning, but you know, when he left to pursue a regular job, we were supportive and we remained friends. We said, look, you know, this isn't a lifestyle that's for everybody.
Yeah.
But then throughout the years, he started working for the band. We gave him a job and he's always been with us on the road and on stage. And, you know, we always stayed friends. And then when he became a working, you know, part of the group and the behind the scenes guy, we just figured that it was, you know, when we knew Sean was going to exit, we just figured it was better for him to just step in, since he's already in our, you know, our, he's basically a part of the behind the scenes stuff anyways.
So you got a new CD coming out on 5th of May, which is actually a selection of cover songs. Can you tell us a few words about this release?
Yeah, we wanted to get something out, you know, this past October, but with all the touring and with all the schedules, it was too hard to finish the record by then. And you know, now once I got back and once everybody got back in the same room together after our little 4 month break there, we, you know, and when Sean decided to leave, we were able to get Wayne to finish the songs, you know, like Suicidal and Slayer and Bad Brains and Black Flag, and now we're able to get it out in May, which is cool because we're doing a bunch of touring, you know, all over the world. We're going to South America, Europe, and, you know, all over, and we want to tour on something new, so that gives us a little, you know, way to, and we want to bring some of these songs into our set, you know, the cover songs into our set, so that's a good way for us to get something out in by the end of the spring, and then definitely at the end of the summer we'll have the new studio album. So it's cool to release, you know, two CDs this year.
Yeah, that's amazing. I would like to ask you for a short comment on each song.
Yeah, sure. You know, we had a hard time agreeing to what songs we're going to do. We might actually have to do a new, another one next year.
Yeah, you should do that.
To make up, you know, because on this one we have like a lot of, you know, hardcore type bands, which are our main influences, like Judge and Marauder and Sick of It All and Cro-Mags, Agnostic Front, Madball.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's a heavy New York hardcore influence with us being from Connecticut, only, you know, 60, 70 miles north of New York City. You know, we did, like, you know, Set It Off by Madball, which is a classic song. We did Your Mistake by Agnostic Front, which is one of my favorite AF songs. We did, you know, Hear Me by Judge, which I think Judge is a very underrated band.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the Life is Pain by Marauder, which is one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite demos ever. And then, you know, we did, you know, like metal songs too, like Slayer, Ghost of War, which is a classic, and Obituary, I'm in Pain, and Metallica, Escaped, which I, you know, tried to sing as best as I could. And, you know, some of these songs, like Suicidal, was so much fun to do, and that we have a snippet, like a little 2-minute clip of that on our MySpace right now, and people are bugging out because I'm doing a different vocal style, which was fun for me to do, you know. Yeah, and I had fun doing like Bad Brains and Black Flag and Negative Approach, like the more punk style hardcore, just because we tuned it down and we made it like, you know, Hatebreed style as best as we could. But we want to keep the, you know, they're classic songs. We don't want to butcher them. We want to keep them true to their speed and their aggression and everything too. But we definitely tuned it down, and I did the vocals my style as best as I could. And it was so much fun to do. It was just about fun, really, and paying respect.
You released your first live DVD, which is coming officially in Europe as well pretty soon. Can you tell us a few words about this DVD? How did you choose the location for the filming? You know, just give us some short backstage info.
Yeah, actually, you know, we chose Detroit just because of the, you know, because of the deep-rooted history and the love of hardcore and metal, and just because of the crowd, you know, like different cities. Like go through stages where people kind of come and go, and the hardcore and the metal scene is sometimes it's very big and then it gets small. But with Detroit, it's always been very big. Like it's a city where you can get 3,000 maniacs in one room. So we had to do Detroit. The venue was big enough. The fans are crazy, and it just worked out perfectly.
Yeah. So apart from Detroit, which is your favorite place to play and your favorite shows?
I mean, obviously we love Sofia. That was a great show. But, you know, we enjoy everywhere, really. We just played Mexico City, you know, and it was a smaller crowd, maybe 500 or 600 people, and it was a great energy and a great vibe. And then before that, we played a little tiny bar for 200 people, like, you know, on very short notice, like a secret type of show. And that was great too. I mean, I'm happy if there's 10 people, you know. I'm happy anywhere I go. It's just you know, we've been doing it for, you know, 13 years now, and people are still so enthusiastic about the band. It's really amazing.
Okay, tell us a few words about then Kingdom of Sorrow, and how came that you got together with Kirk from Cobar. Is that a one-off record, side project, or you have a bigger plans with it?
It's a side project, but I mean, I would like to do another record. And I spoke with Kirk this morning, and I've been helping, you know, him with the new Cobar record. You know, when we got together, this was back in March of 05 that we agreed to do a project together, and it took so long to actually get it out, you know, in stores. So, you know, that record's like very old to me now, because I recorded it in 2005, but it didn't come out till 2008. So, you know, if we do get something new, it's not going to be till like late next year.
Yeah. What about Icepeak? The first record was awesome, and there were talks about the second album. You never did any touring with Icepeak, I guess.
Yeah, it's not really a band that can tour because everybody's so far away in different places, but it's a fun studio project, and we did a couple shows, and, you know, in the underground, the record did really well. I put it out on my label, and I sold over 25,000 copies, just kind of like word of mouth and the internet. Like, there was no video, no tour, no, you know, no radio, no real promotion, no ads really, just only on the internet. So I was happy with the way everything turned out, and I want to do another record. But that record, I have a lot of the music for, but it has so many guest appearances that I need to, like, get everybody, like, I need to get, you know, like, the guest appearances put onto each song correctly. Like, on the last record, they were mainly on one song called Real Recognizes Real, but on this one, there's going to be guests on every song.
So what about Jasta? What's with this? I mean, there's not much information about...
Yeah, you know, I originally was going to do the record this year, and the record's pretty much done, and it's a really good record, but, like, even though I made a cool record and I'm excited and I have a lot of songs and a lot of ideas, I really feel like I should just wait and put out the Hate Breed record, because the Hate Breed record is ridiculous. And, you know, the solo record is just like, I do these little shows, like last minute I do little benefit shows, and I do shows with my band, and we're able to just go and play. Like, if someone said, yo, play in my basement, and I can go do it.
Yeah, that's almost unbelievable. You got Hate Breed, you got Kingdom of Sorrow, you got Icepeak, you got Jasta, you got Steelborn Records, you got a bunch of other stuff. You also were hosting Headbangers Ball for a while. How do you find the time to do all these things and the energy?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, sometimes I get burnt out, and sometimes I just, you know, I'm not, like, feeling it, but lately it's just been so, you know, positive, and I've been feeling like just creative and wanting to create, so I just go with it. When I'm inspired, I just go with it.
Yeah.
So, and that's, I think that's the best way to be. Like,
you were hosting also Headbangers Ball. You don't do it anymore, but I guess that was a pretty interesting part of your life. Can you share some interesting moments with us?
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm writing a book about it, and I'm hoping to have the book out next year. And it's like, it's all journals and diaries of all the crazy stories, you know, from getting to interview, you know, Iron Maiden and Metallica and Slash and, you know, Tony Iommi and Geezer and Ozzy and Lemmy and Dio. I mean, it was a crazy ride for almost 4 years. You know, flying all over, doing shows, you know, interviewing, you know, a band in the morning and then being on a flight and being on stage at night. I mean, it was unbelievable. So the book chronicles everything, and I think the book's going to be pretty interesting for all the metal fans and the hardcore fans out there.
I guess when everybody hear what's your daily routine, someone would say definitely, yeah, Jamie definitely takes drugs.
I know. Well, you know what? I've been clean and sober for over 3 years. And, you know, I'm proud to say that my life is, you know, back under control. And
yeah, you never look like you're out of control, but yeah. Anyway, well, over the years, did you ever thought, did you ever imagine that you would go so far with Hatebreed? And when you were starting the band, how would you imagine Hatebreed in the future back then? And where do you see Hatebreed in 10 years?
Well, everybody always asks me that. Like, they always ask me, like, oh, are you going to be like a Lemmy and, you know, still do it when you're 60? And
yeah, hopefully.
I'm 30, and, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind. I enjoy it, and when I started the band, I just wanted to play shows and meet people and travel. And we're still doing it. You know, it's still the same intentions. And you know what? The real beauty of the whole thing is that we really made our own terms and we really made our own way. And we've been able to keep our sound and our message. And the fans love it so much. And people respect us even more because we never tried to change our style or our message to become a bigger band. We always just, you know, got bigger and bigger just doing what we love and what is meaningful to us. And that goes a long way with people. So it's like an institution now, and I want to just keep it going, you know, regardless of the lineup changes and regardless of the label changes. You know, we're the one band that, you know, it can change, but people know what they're getting when they buy the record.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that you did a 4-month break right before recording of these final songs of the compilation. What were you doing and during those months, and what are you doing in your free time, if you have any free time? I mean, apart from the band and from the label or from everything business-wise.
Oh, well, I didn't have 4 months off. The rest of the guys did. I went on tour for 3 months with Kingdom of Sorrow.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, and everybody goes, you're crazy, you're fucking crazy. But, you know, I had a really good time. We opened for GWAR, thousands of kids every night, and it was just really fun. Like, I had a really good time, and it was a totally different vibe for me. We've been headlining, you know, for so long. It was nice to just be the opening band and just to be able to chill and hang out and not have, like, the pressure to, like, you know, do a hour and a half set and, you know, sell out these big clubs. Like, it was nice to just be the opening band and just play for all new people. Like, so many people didn't even know I was in Hatebreed. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Because GWAR brings such a weird crowd, you know, but it was so much fun. I met a lot of cool people. I had so much fun.
Yeah. I guess GWAR should be fun.
Yeah, like every night it was just a big party, and it was just like, got to go to a lot of places I haven't been, played clubs I never played before. I really enjoyed it. Like, I came home right before Christmas, and at that point I had done like 80 shows in a row. And
good. Okay. Any last words?
Just thank you to all the fans in Bulgaria. You know, we can't wait to come back, and you know, we're really appreciative of all the support, and it's going to be fun to finally come and do another show.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is Jamie Johnson from Hatebreed, and you're listening to Panic Attack on Tongra Mega Rock. What's up, everybody? This is Jamie Johnson from Hatebreed, and you're listening to Panic Attack on Tongra Mega Rock.